Alrighty, guys, welcome back to the Left of Straight Show Interviews, the premier podcast that shares the stories of our amazing LGBTQ community and, of course, fantastic straight allies, all from entertainment, foodies, books, music, and advocacy. I'm your host, as always, Scott Fullerton, and let's start talking.
Hi.
Alrighty, guys, we are back, and today on Left of Straight Show Interviews, I'm thrilled to introduce an exciting talent in the queer music scene, Lupe Dragon's with me. Lupe's a dynamic artist whose latest hit, Cruise Control, has captivated listeners with its infectious rhythm and poignant lyrics. I came across Lupe when she was on our friends Manny and Sean's podcast a week or so ago, and I really wanted to share her spirit and music with you. Lupe is known for engaging presence and unique sound, and she's continuously raising her game in the music scene. With a passion that shines through her music, she brings fresh energy to the pop rock genre, and her commitment to authenticity and representation has made her beloved figure within the LGBTQ community and fans everywhere. Take a look.
How did it get so fucked up? I don't even know how we got here, but now it's not what I expected. Every day I wake up in fear. He was the best one, she was the first one, and I will never be enough, no. This is the worst guy, this is the worst girl. Who in the hell in the world is good enough for you? Just know I ain't mad at you. I fucked around and got attached to you. Just know I ain't mad at you. And you know, oh, 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 you know, oh, oh, oh. Just know I ain't mad at you.
Alrighty, we are back, guys. That was just a sample of my special guest today, Lupe Dragon's in studio. Lupe, how the heck are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, Scott.
I'm so excited to have you. I love my buddies Sean and Manny. They have a fantastic podcast. I listened to all theirs. You had such a great interview. You have such an infectious personality, and I love your music, and I think Manny is still singing your chorus about every other day, five times a week, so it's a beautiful thing. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm great. We had daylight savings time on Sunday, so I'm glad that past 5 o'clock now it's a little more sunny. I love the sun, so that's right? Great. So it's been pretty good.
I am just so happy Academy Awards started an hour early. Usually those things go on for 12 days, and they ended at a halfway decent time last night, so I was excited.
Yeah, I watched the recap because I don't have cable. I just have streaming, so I just watched the recaps. Billie Eilish, I heard, was the youngest person to win two Oscars, which I think is crazy. That was my takeaway. So
amazing. I think she's gonna be the go-to film song person for a while now, because I mean there's always a different person out there, but this is twice she's won for movie songs, and I think her and her brother just do so well together and getting poignant lyrics, which we're going to talk about yours in a bit. But man, it was pretty exciting to see her do that. And yeah, she's a talent to be reckoned with, that's for sure.
No, of course. And I think this is actually the third movie that she's done music for, because people forget that she did music for Turning Red, which is the Disney movie. Her and her brother did the song for the boy band that's like in the movie. It's like supposed to be like a fake Backstreet Boys thing. So very talented. I love her music. She's great.
I had forgotten about that. You're right. Good on you for remembering that. Well, let's jump into your background a bit. First time on the show, I always like to ask two questions. I like to find out a little bit about where you grew up and what kind of a kid were you growing up?
All right. So I grew up in New Jersey, North Jersey specifically, where we say Taylor ham, not pork roll, which is a delicacy here, just so you guys know. I grew up in the suburbs, so I'm a suburban girl, I'm a suburban kid, grew up around lots of trees and grass and white picket fences and stuff. So I had a pretty good, well-rounded childhood. I grew up with a Brazilian mom and an American dad, so I always grew up having a little bit of versatility, I guess, in my life and being bilingual, so... yeah, I mean, I just grew up being a kid in a little small town and just got thrown into the arts because I just love the arts. I always loved music and movies and acting and anything that had to do with art besides painting, because I'm not good at painting. I mean, I painted that one thing that's in the back right there, but besides that, I'm not good at like free drawing or anything like that.
Pretty impressive, though, I got to tell you. It looks nice.
Thank you.
Very cool. Well, second question I have to ask, you're an out and proud member of our LGBTQ community. Tell me about, when did you kind of first come out to yourself, and when do you feel you started to find your LGBTQ tribe?
So I was 16 when I first kind of came to terms with who I am as a person in the community. And I think it took me until like going to college to really be around more people in the community and LGBT people. And just because I think becoming an adult is a time when you really start to feel yourself out and kind of figure out the communities you belong to and the people you share ideals with and whatnot. So I've been on a long journey just discovering myself and just being who I am and being okay with that regardless of what the world thinks. I'm very comfortable in my own skin. But in high school, I definitely, I don't feel like I ever was, like looked down upon for coming out, but I definitely think there are some people that obviously have their own thoughts and feelings, and right, and that's okay. I mean, like, I don't really care at the end of the day, so it's been a long journey.
Those aren't who we hang with anyway. And where did you kind of first find your tribe? Was it in college? Was it in music? Or what kind of did you start to find other people that you were really able to gravitate towards?
Yeah, I think music and college. I didn't start meeting musicians in the community until maybe my freshman or sophomore year of college. I feel like, again, I was still kind of new in the music scene over here just because I had just put my first EP out when I was like 18, 19. And so I was trying to just discovering my whole self in the music scene. But definitely towards the end of college, I really started actually having like a group of friends that were in the community. Like, I feel like I've always had like a lot of like guy friends, but as far as like having LGBT friends, it was always, I think, just kind of hard, because in a way, like, a lot of people think like we don't get clicky, but I really do think sometimes we do, because that's just how it is. You're all into different things, and the same way that heteros are, and it's there's not really much of a difference in that regard.
Right. I was thinking that today. I was thinking the exact same thing, because I don't really get to have too many women on my show. I'm always excited when I do, and I think it's when I think about it, most of my guy gay friends, their women friend are all straight women. They don't have that many lesbian friends, everything. So it's just weird that we kind of, we're all together, but we all kind of segregate ourselves, just like every straight group does, I guess, or something. It's very strange. In fact, I mentioned that you're an exciting talent in the queer music scene, and I hate saying that because you're really just a great singer-songwriter in any scene, and we hate to kind of pigeonhole people like that. So it's like, just in the music scene in general, I love that you're authentic and your lyrics are yours. So I think that's kind of exciting, because your music's written for everyone, right? You don't have to be queer. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, it's for everyone. Obviously, I use certain pronouns in my songs just because it's just... what goes on in my life. I'm just very truthful about that, but I think anyone can relate to my music. It's funny because you say that, and I really do have more males who listen to me on Spotify. I'll tell me on my demographics, and I don't know why it happens that way, but I said on Manny and Sean's podcast, I'm gonna say the same thing, like, we're the girly pops. You can listen to my music too. Everyone can relate to it. Yeah,
come on out. I love that. That's funny. So you started singing very young, and I think I heard on many of them you started playing guitar when you were in your early teens. What kind of music did you grow up on, and did that kind of music change once you started playing your own music, started playing different things, or talk about your early music experiences?
I have always had a soft spot for rock music, and it started with bands like Simple Plan and Green Day. Like, my sister's a millennial, so that's the music that I grew up with. That's the music that I love. I love millennial or 2000s, like, rock. I just, Green Day, Evanescence, Linkin Park. I love, love, love Linkin Park. Then in my teen years, I started watching One Tree Hill, which, again, old show, because of my sister. The show started in like 2003, I think. So I got into bands like Dashboard Confessional, Jimmy Eat World, Jack's Mannequin. That didn't really change when I became an adult. I mean, I feel like when I became an adult, I started to, and even in my late teen years, I started to gravitate towards like R&B and hip hop. And then when I went to college, a lot of my friends who made music made hip hop because that's such an easy genre to make. You know, if you're doing SoundCloud rap or like any of that stuff. So you could hear some of that in my music. And nowadays, right now, what I'm working on is definitely back to that more pop rock stuff that is really just the sweet spot for my voice and is something that I just really love. It's just that really nice, edgy crispness to it. I can't describe it. It's just something I've always gravitated towards, the rock, the punk scene, the goth scene. Right. I love it. I eat it up. It's so good to me.
That's exciting. And are you able to find that kind of a club scene in and around New Jersey? Do you have to go into New York? What kind of, if you are to go out and not play, where do you like to go out? What kind of scene do you like to find?
I like anything really. Like we have a venue over here called Dingbats that's like, was always known as like a motorcycle, like, biker gang scene where all nice. The biker dudes who were into classic rock would go to, and some of them still do, and some of them I think also run the venue. So I've been there for some of my friends who are in these like heavy metal bands. I've been there a couple times. I also love this one venue, now it's shut down, but it was called Boon Tunes, and they did all types of music. They did pop rock, they did pop, they did R&B, like you could do anything. They did hip hop too. I gravitate towards anywhere, and as far as a large venue goes, the Prudential Center is really cool. I saw Halsey there in 2017. That was amazing. And recently I went to Manhattan with my friend and we saw Chelsea Cutler at Radio City Music Hall, nice. Another queer artist who's super amazing. So I go anywhere there's good music. I listen to all music except for like maybe country, unless it's Shania Twain. I do like Shania Twain. I think she's awesome. But I gravitate to wherever the music is. If it's good, I'll probably want to venture out and see it myself.
I'm very much the same way. I've kind of gotten into country because of quite a few gay country artists on, so I've learned to appreciate it a little bit. I still can't handle the twangy country. I'm not into that at all, so I hear you there. A lot of your songs, I mean, you're on that pop rock kind of tour, but a lot of songs have a strong emotion behind them. Do you find your songwriting mostly driven from emotion, or what will inspire a song in you? Does it take much? Could you be driving down the road and just see something inspires you, or what's really gets your songwriting juices going?
So with the past songs that I've put out, it's really just been things in my life that have happened and that I've just felt compelled to write about. Nowadays, my songwriting has taken kind of a shift. I've ventured into journaling my feelings, and what I'll do is I'll put brackets around certain phrases that I feel like could be used for something, whether it's poetry or writing lyrics and stuff, and I'll put them in a file on my laptop where I have these phrases that I want to piece together. So my writing has shifted a little bit just because I've been finding new ways to say the same thing or new topics to really talk about that I haven't talked about. So it's kind of ebbed and flowed here and there.
I love that. And I'm sure, I mean, most songwriters use a little bit of a combination of both. Do you find yourself, though, coming up with the lyrics first or the music first? Are you strumming them out on guitar and kind of making the lyrics to match? Or do you kind of have those lyrics that you were just talking about and then you find some music to go with it?
Typically, I write the lyrics first. The story always comes first for me. I'm a lyricist first and a musician second. As soon as I get at least like half of the song down, at least like a verse and a chorus, that's when I start to play around and figure out like what's the mood I'm going for or the melody. If I could at least hum it out and then figure out where to put a capo on a guitar or something, that's when I kind of like figure out what the melody or the structure for the chords are going to be.
I love that. And I love how you kind of experiment and mix the genres together. When I was listening to you with Sean, he was talking about one of his favorite songs that had a lot of little rap influence in it and everything. I love that you kind of control those two together. What do you like to sample? Now, to try a little bit of everything, or what's your favorites to kind of play with?
You know, pop and hip hop has always been kind of cool to mess around with, because you could do anything in pop, because pop really is just popular music. Anything that kind of meshes and ebbs and flows, you could do anything. You can make alternative pop, alternative pop hip hop, or whatever you want to do with it. So it really depends on the mood and what the song is calling for. So when I wrote Attached, which is the one that he was very fond of, which a lot of people actually were not fond of that because of the rap, but the song was just compelled by an amount of anger that I held within myself, that it called for a certain level of emotion that I couldn't really place anywhere singing wise. Like, I could have probably belted that verse that I rapped, and that would have been perceived a certain way, but the reason why I wrote it as a rap was because it was meant to be that way. I felt like I needed to like go Eminem style and like kind of just like get in your face a little bit. And certain songs, I think, call for certain things. And I still don't regret that song. Would I do something like that again? Probably not. I feel like I'm past that, but I don't even remember what I'm angry about anymore. It was a fart in the wind as far as I'm concerned. But there are certain times that songs come out in your life, or you write them because it served a purpose at some point, and it called for certain things to be a part of that structure of the song.
Now, do you feel you've been able to incorporate your identity into your music and performance at all? What do you feel is the part of you when you're performing and playing? What's your music represent about you?
I think my music just represents feeling something. Whether it's happy, whether it's sad, whether it's melancholy. And that's something that I want to carry on with what I'm trying to do in the future, which is talk about more heavier topics. But in general, I'm just being myself. I've tried certain things and tried to be people that I was at certain points in life and that I'm not anymore, or tried different things just to see what hit and what didn't. And I think that's the whole creative process, is just figuring out who you are when you're performing and when you're creating. And I feel like my music just represents a person who's evolved from a late teenager to my mid-20s, basically.
I love that. Well, that kind of brings us to the new song. We're going to play Cruise Control at the end. It is your newest single. What was the inspiration behind the latest song? Tell me, how did that come about, and what it means to you playing it these days?
Yeah, so I wrote that song a while ago. It's like a pre-pandemic song when I wrote the demo, and I actually put the demo out on Spotify. It is there, the original concept for it. And yeah, it's about someone who just gets under your skin in the right way. It's a song that's like a little sexy, a little fierce, you know, someone that challenges you, someone that tries to get you out of your comfort zone. That's really what the song is all about. It's like nice and lighthearted and fun, and it's got a nice groove to it. So that's really where the song came from. And it went from being this little chuggy acoustic version to something that's totally amplified. My producer, Matt Pelosi, did an amazing job on it. Tommy Mack, who did the mix at Big and Tall in Woodridge in New Jersey, great. Rick did the master on it. And my friend Teddy did the lead guitar. And it sounds just great. It's one of my favorite songs that I've put out so far.
It's an amazing song. I can't wait to play it at the end here, but it's just, it has this catchy chorus. It's got everything going on so well with it. And the thing I like about your music is you really pay attention to the visualizations of it. I like the music video part of it. A lot of artists, you can see where you've really grown. I kind of look back at your older stuff from lyric video to where you go. Talk about filming the video. That had to be a little challenging, but it looks like it was a lot of fun. It turned out amazing.
Yeah. My friend Jamie actually directed the video. I had showed her the demo and said, "Oh, I'm gonna work on this song and it's gonna be like a full band thing." And she had actually one concept for the video, and then it changed when I actually showed her like the full version of it. And we had a fun time kind of planning it out. I mean, when I hire people to direct a video for me, I let them kind of just have free will over it. I try to not take too much creative inspiration away from them because the song, I already put all of myself into that. And so the director, I let them take their own spin. If it's something so outrageous that it's like left field, I'll still go with it. And honestly, the idea that she had for the video for like the race car scene and everything was honestly pretty on par with what I visualized. And she has such a great like skill set for this type of stuff. So
Nice.
yeah, I'd love to do another video with her too, because again, she's great. And she's the first female director I ever hired, which is awesome. We need more people to recognize female film directors because they're great. So
Definitely. Good for you for doing that. That's fantastic. We definitely need to get more female empowerment behind the camera. Just looking at Greta Gerwig and Barbie last night, it just shows that
yeah.
for the mainstream as well. So yeah, every video should be equal to the best person for the job, and a lot of that times is women. So I agree
100%.
100% with you there. Talk about the challenges of the music industry a bit. I mean, it's changed so much just in the short time that you've been. I mean, you've been doing this for now 7 years, but even in 7 years, it's changed so much. I mean, I'm back in the 8-track tape days as a bear of a certain age here. But I mean, talk about what do you wish you knew maybe 5 or 6 years ago when you started? And then what do you wish you could learn better now that you hope to learn in the next couple of years?
I wish I was more comfortable with social media. I'll say that right off the bat because I was so insecure as a kid. So being on social media, I wasn't so ingrained into it as I am now. Like a lot of people are like, "Oh my God, you're just so confident, you're this and that." I'm like, "Well, it didn't start that way. I was bullied a lot as a kid. Honestly, people
Oh,
probably had
man.
really good reason to bully me. I was an annoying kid." I wish I was more comfortable in my skin when I was younger because I've actually been like playing shows for like the longest time. Like I've played at like bars and grills when I was 13, 14, 15, 16 in coffee houses and stuff. I always did choir in school, but I don't think I utilized social media as much as I probably could have in my younger years. And had I think maybe I could have hit the algorithm, but so that's something that I wish I knew if I knew that social media was going to be the way it is now with this AI crap that I don't really like being used in music and stuff. Like
Right.
for speeding up the process and your workflow, I think that's awesome. Like trying to write like cold pitches to podcasters or venues and stuff, I think that's awesome. But as far as using it to replicate a human voice, don't like it. Don't like it at
Right.
all. I don't
Yeah.
like how like I thought what the Beatles did was cool, just off topic, but as far as like recreating Michael Jackson from the dead, that gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't like that. But some other things I wish I knew. I wish I knew how oversaturated the market was going to get because it is really hard to get on like editorial playlists for Spotify and certain venues or like trying to get things is not so tangible. I wish I knew how low these streaming services pay us because it's not great.
Right.
I thought I was gonna make $1 a stream when I was 18, and then it was a fraction of a penny. I was like, "What? That doesn't make any sense. I have so many streams." In my whole career, I've maybe made like $100, I think. If I check my DistroKid, I haven't checked in a while. It's just like I don't care. It's like it's gas money at this point. I don't care. I get
Right.
more from selling merch. What was another thing I was gonna say? I wish more. I lost my train of thought. I was thinking of so many things because there's so many things that I wish I knew going into the industry.
That's okay. We edit this part out. But go ahead. Tell me about what you still are looking to learn, things that you've seen, different trends you like to see that you want to start learning about.
So right now I'm working on trying to jump on more social media trends. I've gotten really deep into making short form content. I love doing it now because I used to loathe doing it. Like, so many times I would jump on TikTok and I'd jump on a trend, like nothing music related, just to get followers so I could go live if I wanted to, which, you know, there's so many bots, but, oh, which, by the way, that brings me back to what I was going to remember to say. The one thing that I wish I knew is that a lot of people buy followers, buy likes, and buy fake streams. So don't always go off of what someone's stream count is, because sometimes they're not even real and they shouldn't even be on the platform because they're paying for it through Fiverr or these other platforms. So just throw that in there.
It's really crazy. I see some people that are pretty popular that are still buying. I mean, they've been in the business for 7 or 8 years and they're still buying followers. Like, if you're still buying them 7 or 8 years in, you need to rethink your career a little bit or your trajectory. I bought, when I first started out, I remember at the time you couldn't post links on Instagram unless you had 10,000 followers. And I was at like six or 7,000. And I don't know if you know if it's like that anymore, but I remember buying 3,000 over a couple of months so I can get to that 10,000 to post links. But I haven't done it since forever. And it just, I don't understand people that are still doing it 10 years later. It just makes no sense to me.
No, it doesn't make sense to me at all. In fact, again, for as far as music goes, there's people who do it because they're chasing this fame. But the thing is that, wouldn't you rather have them be real people instead of just like a number? Like, how do you have like 10,000 followers, but your likes are like 86? Like, that's just crazy to me. That just doesn't make sense. I'd rather stick with my small number of 3,000 real people or ghost accounts, meaning that they're dead accounts that nobody uses, but at least they're real accounts, right? Like, I don't care about the numbers anymore. Like, it's all fake. Not all of it. There's some people who have obviously a million streams, like Ariana Grande and stuff, but like, if you're someone who gets like 186 likes on your post and you have a million streams on Spotify, you're buying that. Like, don't lie. Oh my goodness, I could go on about that. But so we'll get back to, sorry, I went off topic, but we'll get back to what I'm trying to learn. So, more short form content stuff. I want to try to get into certain venues in the city or certain shows that I haven't gotten to do. Like, I've been wanting to play a So Far Sounds show for the longest time. So Far Sounds is a really cool thing. They do it in Cali, they do it in New York and a couple more states, and it's basically a show where they have a pre-built audience of people that come to the show, and it's, they don't announce who's playing, they just tell people, here's a secret show, come see some cool people. People just come for the music and they don't care who's playing. And
I love that.
Billie Eilish did that before she got famous. Chelsea Cutler did that before she got famous. So a lot of people, that's like one of their like starting points. And like, you could play unplugged without an amp, and it just like they do everything. And I've submitted an application 2 times. So Far Sounds, if you're seeing this right now, I doubt you will, but please accept the next application I send in, because I really want to do it, because I think it'd be so fun. So that's another thing.
That would be amazing. I love those things. I love when you see comedians that'll come in that you're not expecting and try out new material, or you'll be at a club and someone will come to try out a new song. I love things like that. So an entire venue built around that's got to be amazing.
Yeah. There's a lot of venues that will apply to be a venue to host So Far Sound shows, which is awesome. Right. So yeah, any of those venues, if you want to put a little nice word in for me, that'd be great. I'd love to do it. And then the last thing on my list right now, well there's 2 things on my list that I'm also learning to do, is be a better writer and storyteller, and then the other one is play lead guitar, which I'm working on with my friend Teddy, which he's like, he's so crazy talented. He's working on an album right now, just to shout him out a little bit. He's awesome. He's one of the few people that makes country music that I really actually like, just because he's such a good player. He writes really great music. He's like studied bluegrass and stuff. Like, he could play anything from bluegrass. He could play probably metal and rock. And yeah, so I've been learning to play more lead guitar with him. I've been doing like my pentatonic scales, like all like the boring stuff that people talk about, but it's all like that core stuff that helps you become better as a musician. Right.
I love that. I am not musically inclined at all. I am so impressed by people who can play piano or play guitar or something like that. I saw that one video of yours. I'm not sure which one. I think you featured a guy named Matt that was playing two different guitars in the video, maybe. Was it a Matt or someone in one of your videos that played two different guitars?
Which video are you talking about?
I'm trying to remember. He had like a Frankenstein's on a strap on one of the guitars and then a plain strap on the other.
Oh, but no, that was my friend Dan, I think. I think that was for the Cemetery Drive cover that
we did.
My Chemical Romance. Yeah, so I'll tell you about that. So I have a friend named Dan. Well, I have two friends named Dan, but I'm talking about this Dan I did the video with. So we actually went to the same college together. We never had class, but he knew my old producer that I worked with and stuff. Yeah. And we go to the same tattoo artist named Azaria. And Azaria has a tattoo shop. I'm going to shout her out in Butler, New Jersey. Come to it. It's so awesome. And her cousin is Frank Iero from My Chemical Romance. And which is a fun fact for anybody who loves the band. And nobody ever believed me. I got my first tattoo at 16. I told everybody that. Nobody believed me. But then she did a pop-up event where you could get flash tattoos, which I got one of them, and meet Frank. And then I finally met Frank, and all my emo dreams came true. And my friend Dan is a big fan of him. He has like 7 MCR tattoos. Like, he's obsessed with the band, like more than I am. And he started working on a cover. Like, he tracked all the guitar stuff, and then his friend Kevin tracked the drums. And I said, oh, let me just throw some vocals on this, like on my mic at home, which is this one. And I sent them to him, and he's like, come up to Montclair and let's like record them like for real. And I said, oh, can I like throw it on Spotify and stuff? He's like, yeah. So that's how we did the cover for Cemetery Drive. It literally was just like out of pure love for this band that we all like. And so he's doing all the guitar stuff. I cut the video together, and I just did a little thing where I was in front of the tapestry in my room, and that was really it. So
I love it. It was a fun video. It was a great song. Like I said, the Dan guy playing guitar, he had the longest fingers I've seen on anyone alive, but he was so good though. I loved it.
He's great. Yeah.
Let's go into, I think I want to finish up because you touched on it a second ago, and I thought it was really profound when you were talking with Manny and Sean about it. And I'm paraphrasing, but I love how you talked about making music for fun and for your enjoyment, and hopefully down the line having money, but keep your job, keep everything, and make it so you're having a good life to go with it. A lot of starving artists out there, and I like that you kind of have a good head on your shoulders. You enjoy your job, you're able to do it, but you're able to keep your love for music. Talk about the importance of that to you and mental health and sanity and all that kind of things.
I think in this day and age, the way that things are, it's really important to just be stable in all facets of life, physically, mentally, and financially. And I think a lot of people forget that when they get deep in the music sometimes. I don't think everyone, I mean, there's obviously people who grew up very fortunately to be wealthy and have certain things and be able to like not have to go to college or things like that. And that's fine, but I think some other people don't always get to have that, and I think it's okay to want to have both. Like, I don't regret having an education. I think it actually became something really fortunate for me to then provide for what I do at my 9-to-5 and also in music. Like, I work on social media content. I have to have a different hat on every single day, and then at the same time have a hat on for myself. And I sometimes will implement that in my job too. So again, I don't regret having an education. Love my bachelor's degree. I worked very hard for it. And I also don't know, I'm not going to say not a lot of mainstream artists speak about it, but I will say that one mainstream artist that I really love, J. Cole, has always been very passionate about school and going to college. And I think it's something that I really love that he speaks on, like, educating yourself sets you up so much in life, and not just for music, but anywhere that you go to. But I think as a musician, I think musicians should read more books. I will say that. I think we should never think that we know everything and constantly learn. Like, I'll bring up my friend Teddy again. He's learning all these modes of guitar. He is playing up until like 2 a.m. because he constantly craves to learn it. And being friends with someone like that, like, made me like want to learn more. So I guess to put it shortly, constantly crave for more. Don't always think that you know everything about life. And if you want to set yourself up for a good life, always just make sure that you are putting yourself and your passion, you know, together first, and find a way to do that sustainably, because it's not impossible. It might not come as fast as you wanted to. Like, you might not put together an album, maybe it's too expensive for me, this, but there's so many ways for you to find a way to do all the things that you want to. But don't ever sell yourself short, and don't always put all your eggs in one basket. And when you are doing something that you love, I don't think it's worth going broke over. I love music, but I'm always going to be able to make music. Maybe I'm making one song at a time. Maybe I'm not doing an album today, but I will work towards that and have enough for that. I just, with the way that the world is and the economy and stuff, the reason I said that was because I don't like hustle culture. I really don't like how this is all like work, 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 no play. You go to work, you come home and do more work. Like, no, because that's not sustainable. You're going to burn yourself out. And then what do you have left for yourself? You know, like, it's okay to take breaks. It's okay to make music. It's okay to take breaks from making music. It's okay to practice your scales for an hour. It's okay if your mental energy is at 10%, you can only practice your scales for 15 minutes. Everybody's always going through something. Just find what works for you and just go for it. So even if you don't go to college and have a 9-to-5, if you're able to do a trade or something, just like make sure that you're making yourself sustainable for a long time. So again, physically, like, exercising, mentally, making sure you're working on your mental health, and financially, just making sure you're having some sort of income, or again, it's not going to be a sustainable thing.
Well said. I just love that. I mean, you have to pursue your passion and you have to make it enjoyable. But everyone, you need to have that break in order to be creative. A creative person needs time away from other people to get inspired to be more creative. And like you said, you can't, living on the streets is not going to make you a better artist. You might as well just make your art after you're off work and have yourself a good life while you're doing it, and find ways to supplement everything. So never give up on your dreams. Never give up on your art. Practice, practice, practice. But also live life to your best all around. Don't be, if it's paying you like a job, if you're an Adele, if you're Beyonce and they're paying you to go out and do these concerts every week and to put out this new album, that's one thing. But if you get to enjoy it and get to go play this club and they're going to pay you some money for that, that's going to fund next song and the next video, that's a beautiful thing too. So
exactly.
I love that you said that, and I appreciate you having that kind of a head on your shoulders to do that. Talk about what's coming up next for you, Lupe. You have a small tour. I know you're out this weekend. You have some other things coming up. Let everyone know what's going on.
Yeah, so I've been doing what I call a very small March Madness tour. So I did a podcast with Manny and Sean, which was basically a part of that tour. Now doing this one with you, Scott. And then I played this weekend on Saturday, March 9th. I played in Montclair. And then I have a pop-up show that I'm doing March 21st in Elizabeth. It's an open mic, but I'm doing like a little guest star appearance. So I'm doing two songs. And then March 23rd, I'm opening up for my friend's band, Morning Coffee. So that's going to be fun because it's their album release show. So I'm going to be there. I'm playing first. And then at the end of the month, I am going to a local college to do a radio appearance. Haven't announced it yet, but that will be up there. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, that'll be March. And then April, I am going to promptly go to bed.
Nice. I like it, though. Congratulations on all that.
Thank
you. I absolutely have fallen in love with your music. I love your personality. I'm so glad I found you over in Sean and Manny's show there. Let everyone know where they can find you in social media and on all the social channels.
So my handle is at Lupe Dragon, LUPEDRAGUN. I'm on Instagram, Threads, because it's better than Twitter. I'm also on YouTube. And on TikTok, I'm at Lupe the Dragon because someone stole at Lupe Dragon. So there's a thun in the middle. Yeah.
Rude.
Yeah. And I'm on Spotify, Apple Music. I'm on literally any music streaming platform. And yeah, stay tuned for more music.
I love it. Well, I can't wait to have you on again and talk about more new music, but we're going to play out to your song. Guys, we appreciate you listening every time to Left of Straight Show interviews. Be sure to follow Lupe on social media, follow her music, and take a great listen to this brand new song. Lupe, introduce the song and yourself one more time, and we will see you next time right here in the Left of Straight Show interviews.
I'm Lupe Dragon, and this is Cruise Control.
There we go.
Make me feel
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Left of Straight Show Interviews. I'm your host, as always, Scott Fullerton, and I thank you every time for joining us. Thanks, Lupe, for being part of the conversation today. And if you're watching on iTunes, be sure to give us a 5-star rating so other people can find us. And if you're watching on YouTube or one of your favorite podcast distributors, hit that like button and subscribe. You'll never miss an episode. You can find great contests, and we're talking all about the Big Gay Road Trip over on the website, www.leftofstraight.com. We'll see you next time right here on Left of Straight Podcast. Have a good day, everyone. Bye.